All right, everybody, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're talking all about serverless computing.
Ooh, that's a good one.
It's kind of a weird name when you think about it, right?
Yeah, serverless computing. How can you have computing without servers?
Exactly. That's what we're going to find out today. I mean, obviously there are servers somewhere.
Right.
But the idea is that as a developer, you don't have to think about them.
You don't have to manage them.
You don't have to manage them.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like outsourcing the whole infrastructure side of things.
Exactly.
So all that stuff that I normally have to think about, like, you know, setting up the servers.
Yeah.
And scaling them. And
right. All the networking and security.
All that stuff.
Yeah. All that.
I can kind of just forget about it and just focus
on your code. Right.
Focus on writing the code.
Yeah, exactly.
So the source material that we have today suggests that this can lead to much faster development.
Absolutely.
And that it can also be much more scalable because you can basically scale infinitely.
The sky's the limit.
Yeah. And it's also supposed to be more cost effective because you only pay for what you use.
The case you go.
So you're not paying for servers that are just sitting there idle.
Right.
So let's dive into this a little bit and see what serverless computing is all about.
Let's do it.
So, you know, I kind of understand the basic idea that there are servers somewhere, but I don't have to manage them.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that actually mean in practice?
So in a traditional setup, right, you have your application.
Yeah.
And it's running on a server that you're managing.
Right.
With serverless, you break down your application into smaller pieces called functions.
Okay.
And these functions are triggered by events.
So an event could be like a user clicking a button or...
Exactly.
Okay.
It could be a user clicking a button. It could be like a file being uploaded to a storage service. It could be anything, really any kind of event that happens that you want your code to respond to.
Okay. So it's like instead of having one big application running on a server...
Right.
I've got all these little functions...
Right.
...that are each triggered by something specific.
Exactly.
And that's what makes it serverless, is that these functions are running somewhere out there in the cloud.
In the cloud.
I don't know where, and I don't really care.
You don't need to know.
So you mentioned cloud providers earlier. Mm. Like, who are we talking about here?
So the big ones are AWS Lambda.
Okay.
Azure Functions and Google Cloud Functions. Ah,
so those are the three big players in the cloud computing space.
Mm-hmm.
And they all offer serverless computing platforms.
That's right.
So let's talk about some of the benefits of serverless computing.
Okay.
We touched on this a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
Let's dive in a little deeper.
Let's do it.
So faster development is a big one, right?
It is.
Because I don't have to worry about all that infrastructure stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I can just focus on writing code.
Yeah. You can just write your function, deploy it, and you're good to go.
So how much faster are we talking about here? Like, can I really launch a new feature in a day?
It's possible. I mean, it depends on the complexity of the feature, obviously.
Right.
But you can definitely iterate much faster with serverless.
So what about scalability?
Yeah.
You know, this is something that's always been a challenge for me, you know, when I'm building applications.
Yeah.
I always have to think about, like, okay, what if this thing gets really popular?
Right.
How am I going to scale it to handle all the traffic?
Exactly. And that's where serverless really shines because the cloud provider takes care of all that for you.
So I don't have to do anything.
You don't have to do anything. Your functions will just automatically scale up to handle the traffic.
Okay, but how does that actually work?
So the cloud provider is constantly monitoring the traffic to your functions.
Mm-hmm.
And if they see that the traffic is increasing, they'll automatically spin up more instances of your functions to handle the load.
So I don't have to worry about like provisioning new servers or anything like that.
Nope. The cloud provider takes care of all that.
That's pretty amazing.
It is.
So what about cost efficiency?
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned that you only pay for what you use.
Mm-hmm.
So my application's not doing anything.
I'm not paying anything.
I'm not paying anything.
Exactly.
So how does that compare to traditional server-based applications?
So with a traditional server-based application, you're paying for the server whether it's being used or not.
Right. So even if it's just sitting there idle, I'm still paying for it.
Exactly.
But with serverless, I'm only paying for the actual compute time that my functions are using.
That's right.
So that could potentially save me a lot of money.
Absolutely. Especially if your application has variable usage patterns.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like if you have an application that only gets used during certain times of the day or certain days of the week.
Right.
Then serverless can be a huge cost saver.
So this all sounds pretty great so far.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are some downsides to serverless computing too.
There are definitely some things to consider.
So what are some of the potential drawbacks?
So one thing is vendor lock-in.
Okay, what does that mean?
So once you build your application on a specific serverless platform, it can be difficult to switch to a different provider later on.
Okay, so I'm kind of stuck with whoever I choose initially.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay, so that's something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Another potential drawback is debugging.
Okay.
So when you're working with serverless applications, it can be more difficult to debug problems.
Because you don't have access to the underlying infrastructure.
Right. You can't just log into the server and see what's going on.
So how do you debug serverless applications then?
So you have to rely on the tools and logging provided by the cloud provider.
Okay.
And that can be a bit more challenging.
Okay. So that's something else to be aware of.
Yeah. And another thing to keep in mind is that serverless computing isn't suitable for every type of application.
Okay. What kinds of applications are not a good fit for serverless?
So applications that require long-running processes.
No. Okay.
Or applications that have very specific hardware requirements. Mm-hmm. Those are generally not a good fit for serverless.
Okay. So it sounds like serverless is a great option for a lot of applications.
Yeah.
But it's not a silver bullet.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not the right solution for every problem.
So how do I know if serverless is right for my application?
So you need to carefully consider your application's requirements.
Mm.
Think about things like the type of workload,
right,
the performance requirements,
mm,
the scalability needs,
okay,
and the cost constraints.
So if I'm building an application that needs to be highly scalable,
mm-hmm,
and it has variable usage patterns,
yeah,
then serverless is probably a good option.
It could be a very good option.
But if I'm building an application that requires long-running processes,
right,
or has very specific hardware requirements, mm-hmm, then serverless might not be the best fit.
Exactly.
All right, so let's wrap things up here.
Okay.
What are the key takeaways from our deep dive into serverless computing?
So serverless computing is a new way of building and deploying applications,
mm-hmm,
that can offer a number of benefits, including faster development, increased scalability, and improved cost efficiency.
Right.
But it's important to remember that serverless isn't a silver bullet.
Yeah.
It's not the right solution for every problem.
So it's all about choosing the right tool for the job.
Exactly.
Well, this has been a fascinating discussion.
It has.
I learned a lot about serverless computing.
Me too.
And I hope our listeners did too.
I hope so.
So for all of you out there listening, what kind of application would you build if you were to use serverless computing? Think about it. And let us know.
Let us know.
The possibilities are endless.
They are.
All right. Until next time, happy coding.
Happy coding.
And we'll see you on the next deep dive.
See you then.